You're listening to Idaho Matters on a Friday, May 31st. I'm George Prentice for Gemma Gaudette. The worst kept secret in Idaho is how much of a fan I am of the Idaho Shakespeare Festival. Oh, my goodness. A dear friend the director of marketing is Hannah Reed-Newbel. Hannah, hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
We're going to talk a little bit about the season, and then we're going to have some performers join us in a few minutes. So let's talk a little bit about this season. Let's pause. Let's talk about last year.
Yes.
2018 was a record-setting season.
Oh,
something
my gosh.
Special was happening in that amphitheater almost every night.
Yes.
Record ticket sales.
Totally record. And we thought, we've never seen anything like this before. How can it be this amazing again and yet again this year? This community, we have always felt so embraced and loved by this community. And this year has been unbelievably overwhelming with the way people have planned ahead.
So can I assume that the success and the number of sellouts that you had last year triggered off-season ticket sales?
I think so. I think it triggered people to really realize that the days of sort of deciding on a whim to come out to the theater are sort of past us now, and you have to plan ahead a bit, and they really got on the ball with planning ahead and embraced it. That's not to say there aren't tickets available through the rest of the season, lots of tickets, but we do recommend you get on it soon.
Season's already underway. Yes. Taming of the Shrew opened last weekend.
It did. Despite the weather, we had a great opening.
But one of our previous guests in our last segment was there Saturday night.
Oh, yes.
And he's begging to find out how Taming of the Shrew ends.
I know.
But it is rare. I mean, goodness knows you, pardon the pun, weather all kinds of elements.
We do. And some of that is that the patrons come prepared and they're ready to hang out. And the actors are so excited to perform and want to finish things with that audience that's come to see it.
What are the rules on that, by the way,
as
far as communicating with us when there is inclement weather or how you decide when you need to pause?
That's a good thing. It's a lot of communication between between the actors and stage management to see how comfortable the actors are in terms of the deck getting slippery, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we also will never make any call on the weather until the showtime because, as we know, we can wait a couple minutes. The weather will change. It will pass. Or it will be completely different at the theater because the way the hills surround us, sometimes downtown it's pouring and the theater is beautiful.
And it's
so always come out.
It's more of a factor actually early in the season.
Yes.
Because you may need a sweater.
Yep.
But sooner than later, you may want short sleeves.
Yes. Yeah, I know. Yeah. The most people come in July and August when it is absolutely hot.
Yeah.
But I got to say June and September are my favorite because it is a little cooler and you get to put on your sweatshirt and feel very sort of snuggled in as you enjoy the show.
I've talked to your colleagues a number of times over the years about how to stack a season. Can you share any secrets with us? On you do have a bit of a template, right? You do try to do a classic comedy or drama, right?
Mm-hmm.
A couple of Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. What's your template?
Yeah, the template has become two Shakespeares, usually a comedy, and then one of the other more serious, not always tragedy, and then a musical. And then the last few years, we've ended up doing another musical in September because folks love those musicals.
Really popular.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then that kind of makes up the whole round there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, what a mystery. I almost forgot.
So, Taming of the Shrew and Julius Caesar are the two Shakespeares.
Yes.
Very accessible. And quite frankly, in 2019, I can't stop thinking.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Taming of the Shrew yet.
Yes.
But yet in this Me Too era, there is much to be discussed.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I read an essay recently about the title.
Mm-hmm.
And the shrew may not necessarily be Kate.
No. Yeah, back in Shakespeare's day, shrew usually referred to men as in shrewd. Yes.
Right.
And there's very good reason we picked both of those plays and that we picked Sarah Bruner to direct them.
Sarah Bruner, who
she was
An ingenue just yesterday. She was Kate in Taming of the Shrew, right? And she is just a nationally known force of nature.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly an actress and now director, and here she is producing or
We're
directing
so
the
thrilled
two
to have her back.
Shakespeare productions.
Yeah, I can't wait to see her take on Julius Caesar and having experienced what she did with Taming of the Shrew. You're going to be blown away. It is all of the things that you love and so many fresh, refreshing looks at that whole play.
Because I'm guessing that we may gasp or laugh at things that we would not have even 10 years ago.
I can guarantee that. Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because it ends the way it ends, but who knows? You can spin this a number of ways. Is there anything you can share with me about Julius Caesar as far as the setting?
I think they're still working on the designing, but I can tell you one thing that I think you'll be excited to hear. Julius Caesar will be played by a woman, Carol Healy.
Oh, wow.
Yes. She was with us last year in Pride and Prejudice. You might remember her.
Yes.
And
okay, you did this with
Caesar.
Alan. I never imagined Julius Caesar as a woman. Wow.
And there are a few other roles that are sort of switched from the traditional gender that I think that will provide a really great
Well, knock me over with a feather.
I know.
Wow. So who's going to play Julius Caesar?
Carol Healy.
Yeah.
And she's an incredible actress. She's been with us for a couple of seasons.
And the implications, the modern day implications of Caesar is power and corruption and all of the shadow of our current political climate is cast over that. The timing is ideal.
I know. I mean, it's one of those things that was revolutionary in his day, just to take a look at politics in that way, and that sort of that drama of power. And now to look at it today is even another interesting lens over it.
We're talking
and
with
to see
Hannah,
what Sarah does.
We're talking with Hannah Reid-Newbel of Idaho Shakespeare Festival. If you would like to join the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. You can send us an email at Idaho Matters, all one word, at boisestate.edu, or join the conversation on Twitter, hashtag Idaho Matters, and of course, join us on Facebook. Quite frankly, when we're talking about the festival, the top of the heap is the musical.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what sells out.
Yes.
And you have chosen the All-American musical.
Mm-hmm.
If there is such a thing as a perfect musical, and I think that maybe there's only two or three, this is one of them.
Yep.
It's a big, big show. I'm really impressed that you're doing this.
Yeah. Well, we thought for a long time, we've always been interested in it. We thought it was too big. And then we realized when we did Les Mis and sort of things along that scale, this wasn't too far off. And we thought, this is the time to do it. And we're so excited because there's a whole company of kids performing in it. Huh. We made every Sunday family nights because we know lots of families are going to want to come. That's when kids under six are allowed to come as lap children for free. There's also a special youth price those evenings.
And will there be a marching band at the end?
Oh, I don't really know all the details yet, but of course, I'm sure there's going to be something. It's going
to
be great.
I think the score is a perfect score, it is The Music Man.
Yeah.
Is the show. I could do The Music Man all day for you.
Could you?
You got one,
are you gonna perform
two,
for
three,
us now?
Four, five, six pockets in a table. Pockets that spell the difference between a gentleman and a bum with the capital B and that rhymes with P and that stands for pool. No, I know all you folks are the right kind of parents. Anyway, I could go all day.
Oh, I love it. I know. I think it's going to just be a joyous evening every time that's on.
Okay. Let's see. We've got Witness for the Prosecution.
Yes.
That opens today. Agatha Christie.
Yes.
Right?
We are discovering that maybe that is not the most recognizable title of hers, and so we want to encourage people to come and check it out.
I don't think many people have seen it, and it's amazing how she's certainly known as a novelist, but as a playwright,
she's an amazing playwright. And this one in particular, he's the director, and he's been talking
about. Charlie Fee is directing this.
Charlie's directing it, and that's where he is right now in rehearsal. Sorry, he's not here.
Yeah,
had a little weather this week, but it's one of those amazing, gripping courtroom dramas, and it's going to be fascinating to see that incredibly beautiful courtroom set in our outdoor theater and then to enjoy this. And it's one of those ones you guess your way through all the way to the end.
Very cool.
You're not going to be able to tell.
By the way, will you have on-stage seating this season?
We do have on-stage seating for The Taming of the Shrew.
For Taming of the Shrew. You did this last year,
and
it was really
cool.
Great.
Okay. Always call the box office if you really want to sit on stage. It's the same price as Hillside. And in Taming of the Shrew, it's an amazing experience. There's not only seating on the deck, there is second-level seating. So sort of up over, looking down. I got to sit there for a little bit on opening night, and it's an amazing experience to be in the middle of the power of those incredible performers and then to be able to see the audience and be in the show. Yeah.
So the September musical I saw in New York, The Million Dollar Quartet.
Yes.
So tell us about
that. Oh, we are so excited about
that. It's an amazing songbook.
It's an incredible, incredible show about something that actually happened that I'd never heard about until we got this title. I think it was 1962.
At Sun Records.
Sun Records.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley, Carl Perkins, and Jerry Lee Lewis were brought together in a recording studio. And it didn't, you know, that recording didn't come available to the public for a long time after.
Yeah.
And so this is about that event. And these performers, they're right now doing the show in Cleveland before they go to our sister theater, Tahoe, and then come here. They're going to blow your socks off because not only are they amazing singers and performers, they're playing their own instruments. And they're Yeah, it's going to be something not to miss.
It's a great show.
It's a great follow-up to Beehive, which we did last year.
Which was fabulous. We all sang along with Beehive. And again, in September, that will be the only
show on the stage through that month.
Mm-hmm. But that will stretch through September.
Yep.
I'm joined again by Hannah Reid Newbel of Idaho Shakespeare Festival, and we are joined by two wonderful actors who are part of this season's company, and that is Eric Damon Smith and Sarah Griffin. Yes. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Thank you.
How are you? You are both in Taming of the Shrew.
Yes.
We are.
Correct.
Okay. So let's just dive into Taming of the Shrew. We talked just a little bit with Hannah about this. When was the first time? How long ago did you first see Taming of the Shrew? Like many, many years ago, Sarah?
That I've seen it?
Yeah. Read it, seen it.
I must confess that I had neither seen nor read this play
until
I was cast in this particular production.
Amazing.
Okay. Here's where I'm going. It's that, for some, it's frozen in time. Mm. But you can't change the lens that an audience looks through because it's always of that moment. And the theme of Taming of the Shrew is an interesting theme of what's going on up on stage. Mm-hmm. Can you just weigh in on this? I'm going to guess there have been conversations in the company about the themes of Taming of the Shrew, what's funny, what's not, what's acceptable, what's not. Goodness knows it's a period piece, but it still inspires conversation.
I can't necessarily speak to the conversations within the company because I joined the production here in Boise.
Okay.
So I wasn't actually around for the beginning portion of it.
Yep.
But everybody knows this play. They know the themes, particularly if you're in theater. And I definitely do one of Kate's speeches as an audition monologue. So I was familiar with a lot of the play, having not read the entire thing until being cast here. Everybody's got their own spin on it. Everybody wants to either make it palatable or they want it to be inflammatory. You know, it's because the play for a modern sensibility can be taken as inflammatory, right? Suggesting that.
But doesn't Kate really win?
I think so. I definitely
right?
do.
I mean, it took me a little while to figure that out, I'll be honest with you. But it's like, yeah, she's got this.
Yeah. No, I absolutely think she does. But there's lots of arguments for yay or nay about that. Do you want to talk about what was discussed in rehearsal?
Sure. There was a good amount of discussion just approaching, because we had a woman director, Sarah Bruner.
Right.
Festival favorite, Sarah Bruner, who's back directing.
And she played Kate.
And she had played Kate. She'd also played Bianca. Yeah. So she had a long relationship with the play, which informed her approach as a director. So there was a lot of discussion about finding a way to avoid anything that felt overtly like domestic violence, if you will, especially considering a contemporary audience. There's a rather famous speech that Sarah removed, a particular speech, the she is my goods, my chattels.
Right.
My chattel speech.
Yeah, the servitude. Yeah,
because she felt, how can Petruchio recover from that? How can, with an audience after seeing,
well,
after hearing
intriguing.
That? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
no.
Just, trying to make a little snips. I mean, most Shakespeare plays, when you go and see them nowadays, a director and the artistic team have done some cutting of the play. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of times these plays would be 3 to 4 hours long, and a modern audience just doesn't want to sit that long for a play. So there's always cutting in plays.
Uh-huh.
But that's
very selective. That's really interesting.
Exactly, because it allows a director to shape the narrative as much as he or she or they can.
Eric, this is your fourth season here?
This is my fourth season, yes.
Okay. So talk to Sarah about performing here. Sarah about audiences here, about the elements and all that. Yeah.
You know, the elements in my first seasons haven't really been that much of an issue outside of some, you know, sure there's going to be heat sometimes. Sure there's going to be a windy night.
Heat?
You know?
We're talking triple digits.
Sure, sure. I have to tell you, though, when we're on stage, you know, I mean, sweat is actually your friend, so you don't worry about it. And we're moving around, so we have a layer of sweat. We're not sitting in a chair with a layer of sweat.
I'm writing this down. Yeah. Sweat is your friend.
Sweat is your friend. It simply cools you down. So I've got a T-shirt underneath whatever gigantic costume I'm wearing, and once I get a little layer of sweat, I'm actually rather cool. It's your body's air conditioning. So the heat is never really bothers most of us. We know what we're getting into when you say yes to an outdoor contract. Mm-hmm. And I live in Chicago, so as far it could be 107 degrees here, but that's not 93 with 90% humidity. So I'm fine with however hot it gets, because it's not humid. But we both grew up in Wisconsin.
Yes.
So talk to Sarah a little bit about audiences, though, because this is a pretty special place.
It's a very special place. And, you know, I feel like I'm talking to the audience listening to this. Mm. You're wonderful. we talk about it. It's a very, very generous audience. Mm-hmm. I think it's really smart. The community is so engaged in the festival. Mm-hmm. And that is something, you know, that my first year working here, I really took note of. You know, just the number of people that we have on a nightly basis, the number of subscribers mm-hmm. is so far ahead of the national average. Mm-hmm. So I think mm-hmm. it's something that the audience, the community can and should be proud of. I also think it's a really nice environment that you can bring your own food and mm-hmm. you can bring the wine that you like to drink. And it's mm-hmm. a very relaxing. I think it takes the pressure off of audiences to be able to go in, have their own sustenance that they've chosen, not worrying about things. And that's the wonderful thing about outdoor theater in general. There's less prescribed behavior in an outdoor space than there is in an indoor space. Mm-hmm. A lot of people who perhaps have never been to a theater, you take them into a grand old indoor theater, it can be really intimidating and rather uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But you take them to ISF, and at the end of the day, if I do this as a practitioner of theater and of Shakespeare, if I need a moment to check out of a show I'm watching and I can look at a tree or a bird, that's great. Why not? Sometimes even I need that 30-second or minute break. I'm like, this is heavy, or I'm a little confused, and I just have to clean my brain. And you're in this gorgeous outdoor setting.
Well, and last year, so I stepped into the role of one of the witches for the Lake Tahoe production.
Yep.
And so I actually watched the show on stage last year a couple of times, and a couple of times from the house. And how friendly these audience members mm-hmm. are is wonderful. The amount of conversation that happens between strangers here is excellent, and I think very rarely found elsewhere. And so it was a wonderful experience to me to get to perform here this year and be here longer, because I was only here for a very short amount of time for the rehearsal process last
year. Have you guys been talking about the bear?
I actually just learned about the bear.
Can you tell us about the bear? The bear was sighted near...
There was a bear at large, sort of in the area, and I heard about it in the morning from our director of education.
This was on Wednesday.
Yes. Yeah. And when she said where she'd heard the bear was, I thought, that's pretty close to the festival. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after, in the afternoon, I got a text message from our facilities manager, Master Gardener Taylor Davis, an amazing guy who takes care of all that beauty out there. And he had seen the bear, and he had a very tiny video where you can see the bear's butt just kind of going over a stone wall as he sort of shooted away. But he just wanted me to know. Then, of course, he spoke to Fish and Game, and then the news followed up with Fish and Game, and then Taylor ended up on the news talking about the bear's very, very brief visit to the festival.
It's an icebreaker. It's something we can talk about during the green show.
There's lots of wildlife out there. There's a family of deer, like every year, there's, you know, I don't know if it's the same, whatever.
No,
you know.
There's a new wildlife focus every year.
Yeah, it's true.
There's the peacock year. Now
okay, so I was just telling people about that. I was there that night at the Crucible. When the peacock landed on the stage.
There was somebody. I mean, the theory was that someone had a party somewhere in the vicinity, and they had these domesticated peacocks. Some of them got out, and we could not. There's tricky things about catching peacocks. If you can find them in certain ways, they don't do so well.
But this peacock landed and the flipping stage.
And at another point, it landed up on the lights, and we were like, oh, no, it's going to get, you know, it's going to catch on fire.
Yeah, it was very nervous. Yeah.
I just want to say that I want to go to parties where people have peacocks
there.
Yeah. Please invite me. Call me.
Yep. Yeah,
welcome. That sounds, that sounds like a blast.
Yeah, we're in. We'll come.
That's production values there.
Eric, Sarah, talk to me about why Shakespeare matters in 2019.
Well, I don't think there has ever been a writer who has been able to capture the human condition in better, more deeply, more fleshed out. Like, Shakespeare wrote real human beings. He wrote, I mean, fine, you go watch Romeo and Juliet and you're 55, but you remember the first time you saw that person across the room and just went, I mean, it's wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's the best writing there ever has been. And that's saying something for 400 years, right?
Yeah.
And I think it teaches you humanity. I think it teaches you forgiveness. I think Shakespeare has the capacity to not only, create fascinating productions that are exciting and dramatic, but I think it also has the capacity to make you a better human being. And that's why it's important.
I think now we live in such a visual culture. So I think Shakespeare is becoming important in a different way than it has before, because of language, because of its focus on language when you're performing these plays. And it's important. It really is. And I think a lot of English teachers these days know, the high school English teachers know this, and they have students read the plays rather than just sit in class or sit at home and read them, because they really are meant to be spoken. Even those of us who are practitioners of Shakespeare, I don't love to read it all the time.
No, I
want to see it.
It
is to be performed. I want to see it through someone else's human lens, because I want to see what they're thinking about it. But I think just the idea, if you think, 60 plus years ago, rhetoric and recitation were part of education programs, and we don't use them anymore. And I think that is affecting people's ability with language, people's relationship with language. I can get a little surly when I'm out shopping when I speak to people and they do not speak back to me, or when someone needs to get past me and they don't say anything, they just try to scooch or scuttle past me, and I just I say use your words. let's use language.
And on any given night, in any corner of this planet, in different translations, Shakespeare is performed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And inspired, and somebody's seen it for the first time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And talk very briefly, if you can, about your company, your colleagues.
Oh, well, they're wonderful. Yeah. I've been welcomed in to the fold. As I said, I joined the company here in Boise, and there was no question about it. I was part of the family immediately, and socially, but also within the world of the play. And this is where you go. This is how you do it. This is how it worked last time. Do you want to change it? It's been fabulous. I mean, they're excellent people and excellent at their jobs.
Great group of people. We are very close when you do long contracts like we do. And so navigating personalities can be dangerous. We do it well. We have a good time. And we love doing what we do, so that makes it a lot easier. Yeah.
Congratulations. Early congrats to all
of you.
Thank
you. We're looking
for
forward to a summer at the amphitheater. And thank you for joining us. Our producers are Samantha Wright and Richard Copeland. Associate producer is Hannah Gardowski. And yes, you've got me for one more week. Next week, I'm George Prentice. This is Idaho Matters. And you're listening to Boise State Public Radio News. Mm-hmm.